So I had the good fortune of being the curator of the Diggett exhibit, the most ambitious K-12 education project that the Soil Science Society has ever undertaken. I think that's probably fair to say. Is that okay, David? Although the children's book was another ambitious project, and of course they were linked. What I'm going to do in the next 15 minutes is just say a few things about, our approach to the exhibit, what we understand about its success or failures, and then spend a few minutes explaining how you too can be an exhibit curator. Now, the thesis of the exhibit that the exhibit was designed under, I think, will be one that nobody here will argue about, given what I've heard so far today. Which is essentially that this widespread apathy we've all experienced from the public about soil stewardship is rooted, and that is intended pun, in the fact that people consider the subject to be uninspiring or boring, you could even say. And I have my own personal bit of soil humor that, that I found in a children's book in which, the most boring subject for an exhibit is in fact soil. And there's some interesting soil history there, by the way, like the year mud was discovered. If you haven't read that. And so, we've heard a lot about this already. This is what this session is really addresses. And the way we addressed it in the soil exhibit was to, first of all, just embrace it. We had that we had that cartoon, but we had these initial reactions from interviews that we did in the Natural History Museum. So we're in a place where the people there presumably have some interest in natural history, in nature. And when asked about a soil exhibit, the reactions were, well, that sounds kind of boring. Maybe it'll have something to do with gardening. I'm not greatly excited. Maybe this is for people who, deal in geology or archaeology. In other words, maybe this is for nerds. And then my favorite one is, I think of this as an Al Gore exhibit. I adore him, but the only problem is the interest factor. So, apparently this is somebody who even apparently understands that soil is important or interesting, but is afraid that, as the topic of an exhibit, it would just fail. So we were well aware going into the exhibit, what we were up against. And, our ultimate goal then was to, recognize and close what, we began to call this soil's inspiration gap. People know it's important, but they're simply uninspired, and that big gap between knowing it's important and wanting to do something is where inspiration, a lack of inspiration leaves us. And then, what this meant was that, the inspiration was first and the teaching of facts was really a secondary goal of the exhibit. So that meant that we emphasized things like aesthetics, which we've heard all about, but, clearly, soils are beautiful and have fascinating patterns. We emphasize the fact that those soil profiles you just saw, yes, they're beautiful, but if you've never seen one, maybe you can at least appreciate the aesthetics of the ecosystems that those soils support. People are inspired by rainforests and grasslands and clear-running streams, but really just need a little help to make that link between what they're seeing, that beautiful sunrise across the landscape, and the fact that the life there rises up out of soil. So we emphasized ecosystems, and of course, this included agroecosystems as just one of many types. And we also emphasized people. People are interested in other people. And so, we had a lot of images of people on the land. Some of them were agricultural, some of them involved sports. My favorite is that little girl on the right bottom corner there, which, I don't know. I think I must have spent a lot of time doing that myself. For some reason, I just love that picture. And then, you know, of course, in the bottom there is that one of our models, which kind of emphasized that all these things are you know, in your backyard, so they're very intimate. Okay, a couple of words about assessment. One of my regrets with respect to the exhibit is that we didn't raise the funding up front that would have allowed us to do, you know, a really in-depth scientific analysis of people's, not so much their reaction, but the way the exhibit affected attitudes towards the topic. What we do have is about a week that we spent in the hall doing a formal interview of about 20 people, and I'll say a few things about that in a second. But just overall, through a variety of types of feedback, including just hours and hours spent in the hall observing the way people interacted with the exhibit, it was clearly a success. I mean, there were always crowds there. There were teachers who had become aware of the exhibit and had designed field trips and activities around the exhibit. One of the last days there, I was sitting in the movie, the 6-minute movie, and was explaining what was going on to somebody. I was giving a little tour, and when I left, a woman stopped and said, "I just want you to know, it sounds like you have something to do with this exhibit, but my son has drugged me back to this movie 5 times, and I am just about ready for it to go." So, you know, that sort of feedback, you know, just it really did work, and it did change the way people thought about the topic, as far as we could tell. So, in our interviews, a few things came out. There were certain parts of the exhibit that were more successful than others. For those of you who paid a visit to the exhibit, this, you know, was by, I think this was clearly a crowd favorite for a couple of reasons. One, this is the one place in the exhibit where we actually had objects. This was an exhibit about ideas, not about objects, which is the more traditional way exhibits are done, particularly in the Smithsonian. And so here was our one little area where we did have actual soil profiles that people could look at. And those profiles, because they were taken from each state, gave visitors a personal entree into the topic. They could go and find their state's soil or their grandparents' state's soil. And, you know, they'd look at it and look at its features, and, you know, I'm not really sure they, you know, could make much of it exactly, but it was clear always that it was triggering memories, and they were, you know, thinking back about, you know, some time in the past, and so, you know, all those things were part of the reason that this piece of the exhibit was successful. In general, the interactives and the media that we spent quite a bit of money on was one reason that the exhibit was successful as well. Most exhibits in that museum are very light on this sort of thing, again, because they're heavy on objects, not so much on interpretation. On the top right, that spinning wheel that has the different soil particles in it was the simplest and most successful interactive we had, no doubt about it. It was successful because it was easily interpreted by parents. One rule about designing exhibits is that an interactive shall not make the parent feel stupid. Because if they don't get it, they'll just drag their kid to the next one. And here, you know, a parent could look at the different sized particles and, you know, explain that. Then the kid could take the wheel and just go and just watch it go around, which, you know, for no apparent reason other than to make it spin, but they still, you know, that gets them interested. And then, you know, the fact that the size of the particles connected to something functional, in this case water moving, again, something the parents could understand, you know, gave them, you know, a way of saying, well, these particles affect something important. So it had all that going for it and was really much more successful than some more complicated interactives we had. So keeping it simple is important. To the left of that was the interactive quiz game, and then the bottom two were videos of a couple of different types. And again, all of these seemed to hit the mark. The sculpture also hit the mark, which really surprised us because we didn't see people spending a lot of time interacting with it. But when we interviewed people, what we found out was that where our overall message of inspiration was sort of lost on many visitors to the exhibit who had interest in art instead of interest in science, this did it. This art sculpture did it. And here's a quote, you know, certainly for adults, but here's a quote from a 10-year-old girl who said, soil is like a different, so she's looking at this thing and the interviewer asks, you know, I see you looking at the sculpture, what do you think it means? That was the question. Well, soil is like a different planet on the same planet as us because it's different than above it. There's less air, more life. So, you know, grammar aside, this is a fairly, you know, this is a fairly sophisticated message to take away from an art object. So now just really quickly, a few things about what I meant when I said you too can be a curator. There's a few qualifications, including you have to work well with others. This is clearly a collaborative effort, but you get to meet a lot of creative and interesting people. And to get started, you need to realize that you can lead an exhibit project. You don't have to go to the Smithsonian the way Pat Drohan did and say, will you do an exhibit on soil? You know, Pat Drohan, now that I've been through it, could have said, I'm going to do an exhibit on soil, and I'm going to get some help from professionals at the Smithsonian or at science and technology centers. And there's a lot of places to go for that kind of help. There's a lot of professional organizations, the biggest of which is the American Association of Museums. One of their groups publishes this playfully titled magazine, The Exhibitionist. These are places to go and just start conversations. The American Library Association tours exhibits, and in fact, they're going to be touring a smaller version of the Diggett exhibit to about 20 different museums over 2 to 3 years, starting this spring. And chances are there's museum professionals at your university. There are dozens and dozens of universities that have museum studies programs, and people who design exhibits teach there. This is just one example out of the Exhibitionist magazine, just a toolkit for, you know, the sorts of things you'll have to think about when you're designing your exhibit. And you don't have to think big. You don't have to have 5,000 square feet in the Smithsonian Natural History Museum to do an exhibit. This is a soils trailer. I think it costs about $20,000 designed by the National Association of Conservation Districts. Tours around. It's very effective for K-12 education. And you can see it's just, you know, the minute you see the trailer, you want to go over to it. Even more low-tech are these soil tunnels that are apparently very popular among the conservation districts, and there's at least a dozen of them out there being used for education. And well, then you got the earth itself. I'm not sure where that came in, but anyhow. So that's really the kind of the point I wanted to make here is that I think exhibits as a way of educating are underappreciated by the academic community, maybe because academics think they have to have a museum to do them, but you really don't.